judge. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and it's our understanding you was going to help us with a hearing this afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. They had us here waiting at 8:30 for you.
My goodness, I sincerely apologize to you and to all of your staff and everybody else. But we're slow, but we always get that sooner or later, sir.
All right. I am dialing your number right now, sir.
Okay, sir.
She'll be calling you right now.
Well, she'll be calling me. She won't get me if she calls me, so can I call her or what?
I'm calling the...
Oh, you're transferring me to her. Okay.
No, I'm at the station, and I'm calling your number,
10.6.7.86. Oh, all right. Okay, that...
For the Polycom here.
Okay, now I'm at Cook. Somebody just showed up at Cook. Okay, she just left. Okay, no, she's here. Hello, can you hear us? We cannot hear you. Can you hear us? Can you put a number up so that we can call you? We need to call you on the phone because we cannot hear you.
Okay, so this is not Cook. This is Browning that you're speaking to?
Well, this is Cook. The young lady is there at the video.
Okay, so Cook called you at the same time. It sounds like I'm trying to call you.
Okay.
Did someone advise them to give you a call?
Well, the problem
are
is...
Are you trying to have a... with work style now, or who are you trying
to... No, we want to do it by telephone.
That's Cook unit. We just need to have her hang up.
Yeah, he's trying to call...
We didn't just give us a phone number like this.
Yeah.
Right. You're on the phone with Bounty Unit? That's Cook Unit.
But she needs to hang up so he can call us on the video.
He's going to try to attempt to call us on the video, but...
No, she's going to give us a number. Let's give her a chance.
4050-105. That's Cook Unit.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, do you want to be speaking with Cook or Browning at this point?
Wherever the gentleman is. Wherever he is, that's where we want to
be. I'm with inmate work style. Who are you trying to communicate
with? That's who we want, sir.
So he's here at Browning, so Cook, I guess, I don't know what they're trying to do.
So what do I need to do, sir?
I guess just as I am calling you now on the Polycom, if you could just accept the call coming in.
I don't think that's going to work on our end, but we'll do whatever you tell us to do, sir, because this technology is not quite working for us.
Okay, well, I do have the phone in hand right here. If you want me just to hand the phone over to Mr. Wertzbaugh, you could do it that way.
That would be perfect, sir. We certainly would appreciate it.
Okay, here are you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello?
Hello, sir. The Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
I apologize for the labor today, sir, but between technical difficulties and movement amongst yards that we didn't know about, we're running way behind.
Okay.
So, we'll get going now. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Michael Raymond Wurzbaugh, 059490.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in regards to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board members right now. We've got the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name is David McNeil. I lost my train of thought. Okay, so I'm going to go over information about you and the offense and different things like that as I go through it. Correct me if it's incorrect, or so often I'll check with you just to make sure that you got the basics on this stuff.
Okay.
Okay. And after we do that, then it'll be your opportunity to speak on your own behalf and tell us everything we need to know, okay?
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right. So you're currently 52 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You served two consecutive sentences. One was for life for first-degree murder and a two-and-a-half-year sentence for aggravated assault.
Yes, sir.
And on February 21st, 1992,
And it was a result of a plea agreement, and even took the plea agreement primarily to get the death sentence off the table.
Yes, sir.
The offense occurred on January 14, 1989, while you were incarcerated for some drug charges and endangerment charge from previous offenses.
Yes, sir.
The sentences for the instant offense were to be consecutive to those two that you already served. But that's why there was a delay until 1992 for these terms to begin.
Yes, that's correct.
You appeared before the board just once before for this offense.
Yes, sir.
And you denied for the 1970 sentence at that time, or absolute discharge. Okay, you certified for this hearing for parole the next consecutive sentence, or absolute discharge on August 1st, 2018. Okay, that sound about right so far, sir?
Yes, sir, that's all correct.
Okay. So, serving a four-year sentence for possession of, I think it's drug precursors?
Precursor drugs for methamphetamine.
Yeah, and a concurrent 1.5-year sentence for endangerment. There were two separate cases that they were adjudicated at the same time.
Yes, sir. They were stemmed from each other.
They were working on one when they discovered the other one, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
And in the endangerment, you were, I guess you were originally charged with attempted murder and aggravated assault, a couple other things, and it ended up in the sentence for endangerment in the plea agreement.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But while you were incarcerated for those, on January 4, 1989, there was an inmate that was stabbed 40 times with a shank, and he subsequently died. And,
yes, sir.
And you were, I guess you were the one charged with the actual stabbing. And
yes, I was.
You took a plea agreement to avoid the death penalty.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you have a criminal history that's funded assaulty behavior, drugs, and some parole and probation violations. I remember that. And the charges that they were brought was the attempted murder, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment. Those stemmed from some drive-by shootings on a house. An occupied residence. So, your discipline since you've been in is lengthy, with 17 in the last 5 years. Most recent was in September of 2017. That was sort of martyr training. Now, I want to ask you this, is it, you're not supposed to be training stuff, bartering stuff, like if you got something from the commissary or somebody else needs, you're not
we're not supposed to be doing that.
Okay.
That's not what it was, though.
Okay, well, what was it?
It was a DOC policy. That's why it was handled as an informal, because we were advised to check out a DOC policy and familiarize ourselves with the new institutional rules. And one individual checked it out and gave it to me to read, and they wrote us up for that.
Right, okay, so. Alright, and then there were three majors, one minor, and three informal resolutions in those seven.
Yes, sir.
So we have very good programming. In the packet, there's quite a bit of support from your family. If you would be released, your release plan is good. I don't have any victims or county attorney people in the room, or find any letters from them in your packet. So, sir, why don't you tell us what was going on in your life back when all this went on? It seems like you were kind of
in jail, more than out of jail, so to speak. But tell us what's going on in your life and a little bit about the murder and what happened, and then we'll go from there. We'll go on to what about you has changed to make you a good candidate for return to community.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. When I was young, I was heavily involved in drugs, rebelling against the environment I was raised in, which was a good environment. I didn't have a bad home life or anything like that. I was a middle-class kid rebelling against, nothing, really, honestly. Rebelling against nothing, but I got involved in drugs and got involved in the drug culture and wound up doing all kinds of foolish stuff, acting out, and really just being a menace because I didn't really pay attention to living life beyond getting high, to be perfectly honest, just to get high and have a good time and party. Then I came to prison, and in prison at the time that I came to prison, prison was pretty much the same way the streets were. You know, there were rampant drugs and violence and all kinds of other stuff. So it really didn't seem a lot of difference to me between prison and the lifestyle I was living on the streets. And then I met the individual that's the victim in this case, and he was in prison, known, documented sexual predator, assaulted people. He came up to me, sexually threatened me, and I felt that the only way that I could deal with it was to assault him before he assaulted me. At the time that I came to prison, that was a rampant culture. It's not like that anymore. You asked what had changed. It's honestly, I just believe that I grew up. I came to prison. I was a kid. I was basically angry and not really respectful of anything since I've been in prison. I've grown. I've tried to put drugs behind me, which I actually have. That incident with the individual, I have reflected on it for a number of years now and knew that was not the only way I could have taken care of it. But at that time, the culture of prison that I was in at that time, we were constantly bombarded with violence, and this is the only way to deal with it. And I just didn't have the actual people skills, the actual reasoning skills to actually deal with it as an adult person should have.
Okay. So, about that, you said you had to assault him before he assaulted you. There's an implication of association with the Aryan Brotherhood. Did that murder have anything to do with them?
No, sir, not at all.
Okay, because we do get cases where people do that sort of thing to be initiated into some of the worst gangs that are around out there. But why would if he's just, if you guys are, facing off, why did you have to stab him 40 times versus just beat the living, out of him?
Honestly, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't even honestly coherently remember the altercation. I remember it starting in the chow hall. I remember running across the yard with him, and I remember flashes of what happened between us, but I honestly do not remember going to that extreme. I'm not trying to be evasive or anything. I truly do not. I thought that this is what I had to do. I felt that this was the only way that I had the time, that there was the only way to deal with it, and that once it started, I don't know honestly what went through my head or anything at that time, because I don't even remember having rational thoughts.
Okay. Well, it sounded like you were having problems, all kinds of problems in prison with your behavior and your attitude before this happened. A counselor for the Department of Corrections, you
filed a grievance about something that his counsel worked with you, and she described you as a big disciplinary problem. You had four disciplinary write-ups while you were on her case, where her supervisor at Offender Services indicated that you had received 13 minor write-ups and 9 major write-ups in July of 1988. This is a pre-sentence report on the first, on your case and things that were...
That actually does sound correct, sir.
Well, I mean, we have to provide the information that's given to us in these things and go over it, but the general gist of it is that you were having problems obeying rules and salty behaviors and running heavily through your, on Christmas Day, you threw your plate on the floor and told them to pick it up, you told them to pick it up, you know, so they were disruptive, disrespectful, disobeying, and all that stuff. So that was what I'm saying is that at that point in time when this murder occurred, you were having some difficult times in the prison with behavior, and whether it be because of other people, and, you know, I don't say attacking you, but, you know, you said you were having a problem with this one individual, and that those kind of problems can wear on somebody and cause other behavioral problems. So you don't, I mean, it said that the prison guards came around the corner and saw 3, 4, maybe 5 subjects kind of leaning over a person that lay on the ground, and they all ran off, and he found the victim laying there bleeding with all the stab wounds. So did you have help subduing this guy long enough to stab him like that?
No, sir. And the people that they, in point of fact, the people that they identified as being there were all witnesses for the state.
Okay, yeah.
They were taken to disciplinary isolation with me and excluded from having anything to do with it and testified against me.
Yeah, the pre-sentence report wasn't, it just says they were there. It doesn't really indicate whether anybody ever suspected them of being, you know, part of the offense or whether they were trying to get aid to the guy or what was going on. It just mentions that they were there.
So yeah, they were originally considered suspects. One of them was the gentleman's best friend. He did try to assist him. The other four people that were rolled up with me from the yard were exonerated and moved back to the home yard that we came from.
Okay, so tell me what's changed about you and your life since that occurred that makes you a better person, makes you a better candidate, because with the movement through consecutive sentences, there is a possibility that you could be released back into the public. So
yes, sir.
What's gone on with you that made you a good candidate for that?
A lot of family support, a lot of counseling, and a lot of support from certain DOC counselors that helped me move forward. And one of the big things was that I stopped doing drugs completely. I don't have anything to do with any illegal activity or doing drugs. And when I was able to get myself away from that type of behavior, it helped me to realize that I needed more discipline in my life and start to be a more disciplined individual, not do drugs, not act on the gratifications of the instant, and basically be immature and just worry about myself. I started worrying about other people. My family started supporting me and trying to show me a future that I could possibly have if I changed my life around. They built a home for me. They're starting businesses to help me, and it made me realize that how much damage I had done, and that I wasn't actually supposed to do that. I was actually supposed to do better than that. And by their continual support, I've come to see everything I had done wrong and tried the best I could to turn my life around. And I will say that one of the major points of that was getting off of drugs.
Okay, so how long have you been sober now?
15 years.
Congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you, sir.
an accomplishment. We realize it's an environment that is inducing to people violating those rules and getting back on drugs. As far as your discipline goes, you came up for parole and had a hearing last August.
Yes, sir.
A month after that hearing is when you got the ticket for the bargain training.
And yes, sir.
Leading up to that, I'm sure you have to know that you were getting close to parole hearing time back in 2015, 2016. It seemed like you had a 4 or 5 year, you had one major for disorderly conduct in February of 2013, but you went from 2008 to July of 11 before you had any problems, and then you got a couple of years off from that, had one, then a couple more years off, but once you hit 2015, they started stacking up on you. What happened, sir? You looked like you were getting better and better with your behavior, and all of a sudden it kind of went by the wayside as you got close to parole time.
To be perfectly honest, a lot changed. I'm FTD validated, and I'm in Bronning Unit. The tickets that you see in 2015, I had participated in and graduated from what DOC calls the step down program. And after 18 years of solitary confinement, I was placed back on the yard. Those tickets in 2015 were when I was first moved back to the yard. Some of the things that I started to encounter there, I hadn't encountered in almost 20 years. So interaction with other people, having to have consideration for others around me, and conduct myself in a more social setting. So it took a second of adjustment going back to the yard, because it was a big culture shock, to be honest with you, sir. Going from isolation for 20 years to open based pods with a lot of people around you and having to take into consideration other people. One of the tickets that's in there from 2015, I don't know if you saw it in my packet, but one of the tickets in there is fraudulent and was overturned. The threatening staff was actually overturned based on staff testimony. But the other ones, the minors that I got for out of place and stuff like that, that was just adjusting to the new rules of being in an open environment as opposed to being in a lockdown.
Okay, well, let's see. In 2015, disrespect to staff, disobey a verbal, threatening or intimidating, well, that's 2016. So there was two in 2015. One with disrespect to staff, and the other one with disobeying and verbal. You said the disobeying verbal was an informal, and the other was a minimum.
Yes, sir.
So, but
the threatening staff one in 2016, that's the one that was overturned based on staff testimony.
Okay. Yeah, it's still showing as a little minimum and fine line on the Ames per now. But the Ames are still a pattern there, and it's troubling to see that all coming up as you get toward parole time. So if you were to be released back to society, what is your plan?
I'm planning on going back to Washington, where my family has our land and our farmer's market, helping with that. I'm learning to, I don't know if you've seen that in my programs, converting the land to solar energy. I took some maintenance classes to try and help figure out how to build the retaining walls. So I'll be going up to Washington, living with my family, running our family business, and basically trying to become a more productive member of society and do something more productive with creating more stuff. I actually have tried to and took a bunch of classes because I wanted to start trying to go into work with at-risk teens up there in Washington to try and maybe help some youngsters avoid some of the stupid mistakes that I made.
Okay. Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, sir, you covered it.
Okay. No questions from my fellow board members at this time. Well, sir, there's nobody in the room and in support, and I don't find any notifications to call anybody for telephonic support. And there's also no one on the victim's side, nor from the county attorney's office. So we're nearing the end of your hearing at this time, sir. And the board will be going into discussion in a couple of minutes to make a determination. But before we do that, we might need an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think might be important for our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat the information we've already gone over.
Okay. I appreciate the board hearing me. I just wanted to let the board know that yes, in the last few years I have made some mistakes. There were cultural adjustments. I was not trying to act out. I am trying to work towards a better thing, and I appreciate the board's time. And whether the board deems at this time to let me go ahead and pay the debt on the other sentence at this time, I will continue to try to do better regardless of the board's decision, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, sir. We're going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves, making determination. You may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. We'll ask you to stay on the phone, but remain silent, and once we're done with our deliberation, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Mr. Wurzbach, as I pronounced it in my mind yesterday, Mr. Wurzbach is a very interesting gentleman, very articulate, sounds very intelligent. He has done a lot of programming, it's very. And some of it is interesting in the scope of what it really is not thinking on the seat kind of food here. He's got good family support. They want him to come home. It looks like they built him a house, or at least built a house that he might live in for a while. It's all very support, very encouraging. But I see, looking at this on his coming out of Mass, yeah, he came out in the middle of 15, and he's not been out very long. He has settled, the behavior settled down some, but it troubles me that he, very shortly after his last parole hearing, he managed to get a ticket, and although it was a minor type thing, and it's on the resolution, it's still that pattern's there. And at this point, I think he needs a little bit more time to get the adjustment down and prove that he can behave himself and stay out of trouble now that he's out of Max. And I understand that takes a little transition time, but because of the violent nature of everything that he was incarcerated for, I want to see a little bit more assurances that he can revert back to some of that behavior now that he's out of maximum security. But I'm going to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members. Discussion. All right, thank you. Okay, so based on all the information that we covered today, all the information that Mr. Wurzbach's response packet, I would move to deny Mr. Wurzbach a parole to make consecutive sentence or absolute discharge at this time. And I am going to ask for a 1-year set off. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion on itself, second by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright. And the reasons would be seriously got on the fence, lost my wife, and I'm a colleague seriously needing to go with the number of stab wounds. If I leave the community's probation for its continued history as consulting behavior part of criminal history, the institution will pay her to some extent, not primarily the most recent tickets. And the other family history of the consulting behavior. A good program, a good release plan, and good reminder today, and both my family and community support. So unless there's something else that my fellow board members would like to do on here, that would be it. Okay, so Mr. Wurzbach, the board is willing to deny you a parole of next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge at this time. You heard the reasons. Did you understand them? Are there any questions on that?
No, sir. I heard it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, don't take this as a negative. Really, it's a positive. It's a growing process, and we do wish you the best of luck. And when we see you the next time, we'll see how it goes. Okay, sir.
I did not take it as negative. As I told. Spread to the board about it. I will continue to try and do better, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, and we really, really do appreciate your demeanor today, sir.
All right, you all have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thank you, sir.